You're listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast. This is Misty, and I am here with my co-host, Val.
Hello.
And we are chatting.
chattering
with Lizandra in her giant, amazing studio of Lizandra Photography. Tell us about what you do for those of us that are listening that might not know.
So I am a boudoir photographer with a focus on really helping women and couples and individuals. I don't work as much with men, but men, like in couples, are fine. but like women and couples mostly, and really reconnecting with their sexuality or figuring out what their sexuality means to them and being able to dive into that, like work through any kind of like past shame or traumas that they might have, and really work to like hone in on who they are and how they want to best represent themselves. So like in the studio, like with boudoir, I like to mix that in with like the sex coaching. I'm in training right now for my sex coaching certification. So we sort of fuse the two together in sessions.
So tell me how all that started, because that is like really cool, but like how does somebody say like, hey, this is the thing I want to do?
I wanted to be a sex therapist, and that's what I went to school for. Like I went to school for psychology, and when I was in college in Hawaii, I got a camera because like I would always take pictures and they'd be really shitty quality because like it was a point and shoot. Right. So I'm like, okay, what do I need? I need a DSLR. I bought a camera. And then I was like, oh, I can't afford equipment because I was like 19 and in college and I had like a barista job. Like it was just, for a while I worked at a pineapple plantation. that was pretty fun. But I couldn't afford anything. So I was like, I'll start a business because then I can buy equipment because people pay me. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but I was like, yeah, that makes sense. So I started that and finished school. Once I graduated, I moved here to Virginia because my ex-husband got stationed here. And I worked for I was trying to find a job after I got to Virginia. And it was hard because like I graduated, but I had no work experience. I was 20 years old at the time. So like I felt like that was a big barrier when trying to work in mental health because mm-hmm. I was so young. I had done like an internship briefly with like a substance abuse counseling group, and I did, I worked at a group home for the Navy, like, just jobs that were not, like, relevant to what I was wanting, but were very, it was all, like, get. I worked at Lazy Boy for a little bit. It took me 3 interviews for that. I sold one fucking recliner the whole time I was there. I was not a good salesperson at all. Like, at all.
You're like, here's your recliner for
it was. Yes, I only sold one the whole time I was there, and it was because he specifically already knew, like, hey, I'm coming in
this
to
buy
this.
What I want.
This. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm ready to ring you out. Here we go. I get to process this paperwork. But it took me 3 interviews to get that job, and it was really, like, demoralizing because I had graduated with my bachelor's at 20. I had graduated with honors. Like, I powered through that shit, and then to get here and just, like, door slamming my face constantly, mm-hmm. It was really discouraging, but I still, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to still continue shooting, because I had the business, which was, like, a year old at that point, so got here, started shooting weddings and stuff like that, was still shooting boudoir, because, like, I had shot boudoir in Hawaii, and that's what I really realized, like, this is what I'm drawn to. My first session that I ever had was, like, working with this woman who'd flown down for the weekend. Now I like working with women because there's so much to them. Like, there's so much to women and, like, being a woman and the things that we experience in life that, like, men will never fucking understand. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to, like, have someone come in and be able to support them through whatever space they're in their journey, that's always been really cool to me. And, like, weaving psychology into it, being able to understand, like, why someone is the way they are, what sort of motivates them, what they're working through, and how they're working to get through it. That's, like, I love being able to help people with that stuff. So, boudoir was just, like, a natural thing. And I was working as an ABA therapist with autistic children, and I got pregnant, and it was one of those, like, okay, what am I going to do? Like, keep this job after I have my son, or, you know, go full time. It's like, it was such a, I was making $16 an hour, which was not bad, like, but, like, that was not, you can't, after childcare, you know, it's not enough to,
mm-hmm.
it's nothing. So, yeah, I went full time with the business, and
is it?
And yeah. Yeah.
So, tell me, like, I have a distinct memory, we talked about it right before we started, so I, in a past life, worked at a bridal salon for 8 years, and that's where I met you for the first time, back when you were doing weddings, and
yeah.
I remember when you started to, like, specifically go more into just boudoir. Tell me, like, how that transition happened, and how you were like, you know what, like, no more weddings.
Well, for me, it just made sense, because I'm a big introvert. Being around a lot of people is extremely draining for me. And I don't work well in large crowds. Like, is it doable? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't want to spend my Saturdays away from my son all the time. Like, I shot one wedding after I had Lucian and after that I was done. Because I was pumping. I tried to pump. I could not. I was, like, trying to pump in the bathroom. And the groom's mom came in and was, like, drunk as hell. And it was just such a, like, I'm like, damn, this sucks. And then I brought the wrong bag to store my ice, and it, like, flooded the DJ booth with water. And I was trying to, like, store my breast milk. I was like, this is not. It was, like, a 10-hour wedding. I got home. It was, like, during that wedding, I dismounted my lens during the speech, my 70-200, and it went right to the ground. It was just, like, one of those, like,
just a sign. Yeah,
mm-mm.
That's it.
No, fuck all this. Like, I don't like it. And I had been shooting boudoir for, like, a few years at that point, because I had started the business in 2010, and then 2013 is when I went full-time. And so, yeah, I've been shooting boudoir for 3 years at that point. And I was making more with boudoir sessions than I was from a wedding. I'm like, why would I spend all this time away from my family, all of this energy that I'm doing something I don't really love,
mm-hmm.
and something I'm not passionate about, rather than doing something that's so fucking neat. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was
right.
such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a very easy decision to make, as far as deciding to just say no. But it was a little hard to say no to, like, all work all together other than just boudoir. But I think that being able to specialize and narrow down and focus gave me the ability to dive in and really hone in on it.
I think it's funny, too, because there's, like, a now that's more of a normal conversation.
Yeah.
Like, back then, I mean, legitimately, it was, like, a big deal. Like, it was,
yeah.
like, you're supposed to do all of these things.
Yeah.
You're supposed to shoot families, and you're supposed to shoot weddings and boudoir and do
yeah.
whatever. And, like, that was the quote-unquote rules
yeah.
of being a photographer.
Yeah,
like, this is what you, this
yeah.
is what you do. And so it was, like, a very crazy thing at the time.
Yeah.
For, like, if you decided, I'm just shooting boudoir.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was, like, a not a normal thing. Then.
Yeah.
Like, and so that did take, like, a I don't know.
Or
like, you know, guts or whatever. Because there are people that are like, oh, what are you doing?
Even
what are
now,
you doing?
I have people
and
that
it's still,
ask
yeah.
me, like, oh, you only shoot boudoir?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And they're like, you can still shoot. Yeah. Like, yeah.
yeah.
Like,
right.
yes.
Exactly. yeah. And it's like, but it's so funny to me that that's like a thing.
Yeah.
And like, and then it was just, you know, I mean, I knew you then.
Yeah.
you know, like, and like, it was like a weird thing, because it was like, if you weren't in these rules and in this box,
oh,
it
absolutely.
Was like a situation.
Yeah, and I think this area particularly, I mean, having moved here from Hawaii, I noticed, like, Hampton Roads is very different as far as the community aspect, as far as, like, expectations. Like, here, it's a lot more conservative here than Hawaii, like, far
yeah.
more. Hawaii is a mix of, like, Eastern culture and Western culture. It's such a diverse place, and, like, that was so beautiful. So to move here, from there to here, I mean, Hampton Roads is not, like, it's not terrible. It's not, I'm from Arkansas, from, like, a town of 3,000 people. That was fucking horrible. like, that is not Hampton Roads. But, like, my landlord actually, he said it to me. He's like, Virginia Beach is like surfing rednecks. I'm like, yeah, I think that's, you nailed it, man. That's
exactly what, and
okay.
I have from Virginia
yeah.
Beach, so yes, that's
yeah,
what it is.
Like, that's what it is. That's the vibe I got from the
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So moving here and, like, shooting boudoir, I mean, that was already pretty, you know,
mm-hmm.
what, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, when you told me that, I was like, wait, that's a thing? And, like,
mm-hmm.
me being who I was back then and, like, knowing, like, I was like, all right, like, good for you. And
yeah.
Then, like, mm-hmm. you started, like, regularly posting things
yeah.
and showing people, like, no, like,
this is a thing.
Yeah.
This is a thing, and I mm-hmm. am very fucking good at this thing.
And it's interesting because the area is still, like, very, even when I did a bridal show in 2016, and everyone was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, mm-hmm. hiding their faces, walking hush, hush, hush. You know, mm-hmm. like, it was such a taboo thing. Not so much anymore. 2021, I think last year was a fucking game changer for boudoir, but it's much more acceptable now.
Right.
2013, when I decided to go full time, like, no, it was
yeah.
still extremely, like, it was like boudoir is like the redheaded stepchild of the photography community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even then, like, it was like looked down upon. And then the way I shot too was looked down upon because it was too risque or too pornographic. Even though it was not pornographic at all. Like,
right.
Yeah. No. Now I shoot erotica, which I'm like, you want to talk some shit.
But it's true, though. Like, that's how people, yeah. like, they get all caught up in...
Yeah, like, expectations. That. And it's like, I think a lot of people, because you're raised to think sexuality is a taboo topic and you shouldn't talk about it. And so to have someone, like, out front displaying it and displaying, like, women experiencing pleasure, oh my, like, we have that.
Oh,
what?
Damn.
We're not supposed to do that. Or display that
mm-hmm.
much less. So it was really yeah, it was really interesting to see like the resistance to that, but at this like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not like a stranger to that like resistance and having to deal
mm-hmm.
with like people's opinions and shit. So that's not something that was it didn't deter me. It wasn't like a I take that back. For a bit, it did. Like, I do notice I shoot a little bit more tame than I would like to, personally, because I'm still working through, like, okay, is this okay? Is this going to push people away? But I'm at a place now where I'm extremely comfortable with being polarizing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm very selective with my energy, and I'm very selective with, like, who I'm taking on as clients, too. And I have the ability to do so. And so that's where, like, this last year was a big eye-opener for me to really dive full force into what I actually want to do rather than even trying to stay within like the confines of boudoir and what that
mm-hmm.
is sort of what the expectations that come with that are.
Well, that's kind of one of the things that I've always really liked about you is you take like what this like definition of like Val was saying, what a photographer should do and then what a boudoir photographer should
mm-hmm.
do. And you're like, yeah, but like also we can do this.
Yes.
Hey, look at this thing.
Yeah. Like I could add in this other thing
yeah.
that is really beneficial to my clients and that I
yeah.
really enjoy doing, and it's not just
it's actually fun and it makes it meaningful because I don't fucking like just taking pretty pictures.
Right.
Like,
right.
like
mm-hmm.
there's one thing to, and honestly I don't think I'm the best boudoir, I'm definitely not the best boudoir photographer out there. I'm not the best poser out there. I'm not the best like technical shooter. There's so many things that I lack, but for me my priority is my client experience
mm-hmm.
and the impact that the client has. Because it doesn't fucking mean a thing to me if other boudoir photographers care about what I'm doing. The impact is my client. That's who I'm serving. And when you pour into the people you're serving and you really hone in on what their needs are and like how can I best meet this, that's the whole point of what we do.
Right.
Like as business owners, that's
mm-hmm.
my opinion. Like I'm here to serve my community and I'm here to like actually have an impact and do things that help people rather than just take pretty pictures.
Right.
That's one of the things that I appreciate about how you run your business, but then also how you portray it. Like, you don't just talk about, like, hey, here's this pretty picture I took. You're like, no,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you about this person who flew here from Arizona and, like, all the crazy, like what this person
yeah.
was going
yeah.
through, like, that you can say
yeah.
for that reason, obviously. But, like, and here's what she said about her experience.
Yeah.
Like, you
mm-hmm.
make it a...
It's an experience. It's not
yeah.
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 It's an experience.
And everybody has a story. It's not
exactly.
just a here's a pretty picture. It's like, no, here's a person who like needed this moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, like I feel too, at least in my experience, I think you like sort of, you know, you get what you put out there. And I have a lot of people who are coming in at like very transformational times in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that sort of mirrored me in my business. Like while I was going through my separation, almost all my clients were divorced or going through that. So that
mm-hmm.
was really cool for me to be able to be like, hey, there's this actual community here that, and we're all being able to learn from each other and grow from each other. And that was amazing. Just because like there are so many people that have so many stories that are very different, but at the same time, so similar. Like, I think at the core, like us as women, the things that we experience are very similar. And there are a lot of things that were never spoken about. There are a lot of things like our moms never tell us or their mothers never talked about. So a lot of those conversations are had here in the studio. And that has been really impactful for me personally. Like, shit. It's amazing. That has been amazing.
Well, that's what I think, you know, one of the things we like to ask people on the podcast is like, what does success mean to you? And do you think you're successful? And I kind of think you answer that, you know, already, like in, like you are successful because you change people's lives in like a really impactful way.
Yeah. And that's something like, I just came off this 2-month business sabbatical where I was like, nothing work related. Like, although I totally cheated because like I shot a session like a month into it, but it was for my friend and it was a couple of sessions. It was fun. It was like, yeah, I love it. But otherwise, I was pretty, like, anti-hands-off my business, and it was the distance that I needed to be able to have that, like, all right, what's up? What are we doing here? Is this really what we want to keep doing? Because success, I think, has varied for me so much throughout my career, and right now, like, success is, it's health and happiness. That's it. I'm not going to work myself into the ground. I'm not going to work with people that I don't feel I can impact in a way that is like mutually beneficial. Like, I want everything to be just in alignment with like the life I want for myself. Mm-hmm. And I have the power to create that. And that's sort of where I've been really trying to hone my focus in.
I like that. That makes me happy for you.
Yeah. That's another thing I think that we've heard over and over again now, like talking to people who have owned businesses for longer than like a few years, like every single person that we've talked to that's owned a business for longer than a few years has been like, this is what's important. It's the balance and like finding it here and like knowing that success isn't necessarily showing everyone that I'm like booked every single day and I make all this money and it's whatever. Like, that's not what it is anymore. And I think that's a really important thing that we're trying to tell people through also is like, that's what it is. And so I love that like every single person we've talked to has said that almost, you know?
And I think
it's just such a good thing, or like an important thing. A thing I wish I would have known, or like someone would have told me when I started my business.
Yeah.
You know?
I think now, like, I sort of look back and I think, especially because there's so much education out there, especially in the boudoir world right now, where it's great to sell like the whole booked out for forever. And like for me, I am very intentional with my scheduling because I have to be because of my health. Like, that's going to correlate to when I'm taking breaks. That's going to correlate to when, like, my kids are out of school. Like, my business has to be tailored to me and my life. Like, during my custody battle, I only worked half the year because I did not take on sessions when I had Lucian. Mm-hmm. That was my boundary. And it sucked in a way, but I ended up being, like, every fucking year has been growth after growth after growth. Mm-hmm. Each time I put these boundaries in place, it's fucking insane. Like, I actually, yesterday we hit a business milestone. And it was like, hey, I just took 2 months off, and it wasn't even something that was intentional or conscious. It was just like, I was resting, and it fucking happened because the systems that were needed were in place, and I had done the groundwork, and everything was set up, and that's where you build it, and you can take that step back. So that's been pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It's funny. I was telling Val on the way over here, we were literally having like a, because we're at, I don't know if I said this, we're like in Lysander space right now. but I was like, you know, I told like my staff and my team, I'm like, we're not taking any new clients for like the rest of the year. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want, because it's not worth it.
Yeah. It's not worth the stress.
No, and I want to be good for the people that are
our clients.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I can't be good for them, and if I can't be good for my friends and my family and my life, then like, what is the point?
Exactly.
What is the point? And so I think oftentimes, like, we do these podcasts, and I always, like, leave, like, a little takeaway of, like, oh, shit, could I take 2 months off?
Yes.
Listen, do not tempt my operations manager's going to listen to me. I know you cannot take 2 months off. But, like,
I had to be very intentional with it because, like, I found out about my brain condition last year. And so it was, like, okay, you're going to have to if you need surgery. So
right.
Plan it out because at least now you can control that time.
Right.
I can control 6 months ahead of time, and I can fill up my schedule until then. And then after that, I can decide, am I going to continue booking? And if I am, what's that going to look like? How many sessions am I going to take on? Mm-hmm. Realistically, how much am I going to shoot? So I didn't open my books again until March of this year. for like August and then on. And then I just had a booking window and boom, who wants a session? Here we go. These are the dates. We filled it. And so it was having that, like, okay, I know when I can schedule time in for myself. And we have, like, we're supposed to have a trip. Like, I was supposed to be in Vegas next weekend, but it's not happening. It's COVID.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So excited for that.
But like, each month we had scheduled in, like, time off. Like, I like to travel. And for me, like, having a business that works for me is including time to travel and do fun mm-hmm. shit outside the area, because that's extremely important to me. I don't like staying in this area. It's just, I don't. So, like, having
all the time, it's not the same.
Yeah. I've always, like, growing up as a military brat, like, we travel regularly. I've been living here now for, like, 10 years. And that's the longest I've ever lived anywhere. And I'm not, like, I want to go. So I'm like, you know, I like to travel and be able to get out and be able to have that, like, be able to create, you know, that scheduled time away to where I can step back from the business. And, like, the team has got a handle. Like, they've got, like, you know, and I can plan shit out in advance, schedule things. You know, there's all these things in place to where it really just takes, like, intention and consistency.
Yeah, I really like that, like, it's really about being intentional.
Yeah.
More than anything, like, that's the overarching theme, I
absolutely.
Feel like, of this conversation.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I can be a photographer, but I'm also going to make it, like, really intentional because this is what I love.
Yeah.
And, like, these are the people I want to serve. Like, you know what you want, and that's a beautiful thing.
And with creative, any kind of creative profession, I think very intentional boundaries are necessary, because with anything that's creative, it's so easy to push that line of, like, burnout where you're pushing yourself. You can't. Being a creative and running a business, they're two monsters, like, in and of themselves to master. And I think that, like, I know for myself, like, there are times where I'm leaning into the creative side, more on the business side, and it alternates. But I think having that, like, necessary downtime is important, because you will burn yourself out. I burn myself out every fucking year. And that's why I took those 2 months off. My bookkeeper was like, yeah, I don't know how you didn't burn yourself out, because, like you need to take a break. So I was, a part of me was actually considering, like, okay, let's book in sessions for June since I don't need brain surgery.
Yeah.
My assistant was like, I mean, if that's what you want to do, you can, but, like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my bookkeeper was like, no, you need, like, 6 weeks at least. That's, you have to have that downtime, because you're not going to reset. You're not going to be able to turn it off. It's going to take you at least 3 weeks to be able to step away. And it did. Mm-hmm. It did. And I honestly, I should not have, I should have held my boundaries more in June. I didn't. I did in July. And that was, it ended up being a more profitable month, a less stressful month. And that's where it's like, duh, dumbass, you put these fucking rules on yourself for a reason.
Yeah,
follow
yeah.
them. Stop
uh-huh.
trying to break your own shit. Because that's, like, you know, right, well, that's, yeah.
Somebody told me once that we think, as, like, the owners of our business, we're the most important people to the business,
mm-hmm.
and that oftentimes we don't realize we've put people and systems and things in place that, like, we can take a week off and just, like, not work.
Yeah.
If your systems are in place, you can take time off and not work.
Yes. That's the whole reason why you set that shit up. Like, otherwise,
right.
like, what did you do, you know? That's the point. It's to, and also too, to be able to trust the people you've put in place to be able to step up and do what you're asking of them. And it's being able to trust them. It's so reciprocal. And I'm very thankful I have a team that has been incredible. Like changed my life completely in the best way. So, and I know, like, if it wasn't for them, having them and their support and their, and the systems in place, not just what they provide from a business level, but as personal, like, one of my assistants, she came up in that session, like, so we've become, like, really good friends through all of, and it's just been cool to be able to lean on each other through life, because, I mean, it's awesome to be able to have a business, but it's even better to, like, be able to have a business with your friends, and, like, everyone just have fun. So that's been really cool, because I fucking, and, like, my assistant, I love her, like, so that's been awesome, because every day we come into work, I'm like, hey, guys, like,
yeah.
It's just awesome. It's, like, fun. And her friend actually came in for a session the other day. Oh my god, I'm wearing makeup. Sorry, I just remembered.
You're fine.
I'm sitting here crying like,
no, you didn't. You honestly haven't messed up your makeup.
Yeah,
actually.
I know. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Fucking colors. The eyeliner is.
Yeah. I'm really impressed. I'm like, where'd you get your eyeliner? Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is like all my goth girl, like from high school, like all my hacks of BDS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really cool to be able to do this and incorporate the team members and be able to just not just like it, there's a sense of responsibility, like having like Laura, she's my assistant, she's my first employee. Like I feel so much like responsibility to her, and that lights a fire under my ass, like being able mm-hmm. to make sure I'm like committed to her growth, like making sure that she's happy here and she's like learning things and she feels like she's improving, because I've worked in jobs where I was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
So many jobs that I was miserable in, and that's not an environment I want to have here.
That's a conversation that I have with my staff on like a regular basis. I got somebody's timesheet last week and they had worked 60 hours, and I was like,
oh,
bro.
Yeah.
I was like, do I need to like take something from you? Like, I'm totally like, that's not a punishment.
Yeah.
I need you to have a life.
Yeah.
It's not this life.
Yeah.
It's not a punishment. You don't own it.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, it's like fine. I'm like, no, it's not. It's no precious thing. It's not
yeah.
fine. I need to not work so much and not feel that overwhelmed. What do I need to take? Like,
yeah.
It's just a crazy week. I was like, all right, let me see your hours next week.
Yeah.
I'll take some shit from you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, chill. Take a weekend off, man.
Yeah.
60 hours doesn't happen in 5 days, so
yeah.
And if it does, then your 5 days are looking real rough.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of thing where you want to create that kind of environment, though, where you're excited to see the people that work with you, and you're excited to do those things, and it's hard because you do feel like that level of responsibility.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I appreciate how much you love it here.
Yeah.
I need you to love some other stuff, too.
Well, I think the cool thing that has... It, like, she was in the Air Force before,
mm-hmm.
and then she was, like, government contractors, and then she managed a gym, and now she works here with all of us. And she's like, this is the weirdest job I've ever had. It's all women. It's so different. It's a completely different environment, but, like, I think our personalities feed very well together with Boudoir, and with Boudoir in general. It's so easy to cross boundaries, and that has been, like, age-old struggle with this, because it's so intimate and you dive so deeply so quickly, and so it's very hard to like set those boundaries with your team and things like that. It's like, yeah, I really want to help you with this personal issue you're having, but we got this and this and this and this. So that's where from the get-go, like, I was very clear with her, like, hey, boundaries are something I struggle with, so I'm not having this shit. So
yeah.
This is where, like, if we are both stepping out, like, we need to be aware of it, and we have these discussions where, you know, we're pretty self-aware people, and I think when we do get into those periods where we're like deviating, we're really good at pulling back. So that's been really cool. Just like, I've been very coming through this. She was a client before I had hired her on, and she called me out on my own boundaries, because we were going out for a weekend, and I was like, I'm gonna be gone for the weekend, like, you know, talk to my team if you need anything. This is before I hired her on as my, I have like two assistants.
Mm-hmm.
She's my in-person. And she emailed me. She's like, you're not supposed to be working this weekend, so please don't respond to this, blah, 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 blah. And then I fucking responded to her. And I'm like, damn it. Like, as soon as I emailed her, I was like, why did I do that? And then she came in and she's like, why did you do that? So from, like, she just, from the beginning, I was really appreciative of that, and so that was cool. And she wasn't like super pushy when asking to. She knew I was gonna hire someone. I was like dragging my feet on putting the application out, because I don't like having that process of hiring.
No, it's ugly and
it's,
annoying.
Yeah,
I don't
like
it.
So, oh, I don't like it at all. So she was like, hey. Because I ignored her first call. But then the second time I was like, yeah, let's get together.
Yeah.
Get it. That's
perfect.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was really cool. And it was a way to naturally, and since then, like, since she's come on, we've had so many changes, too. And she's helped me really, like, get my personal health, like, make that a priority. And so that's been huge. So it's been cool to be able to like have a team that works well together and just it's like a family for sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tell me about your space for like those that like how did you get to this point? Because you had a space and from what I gathered from the internet, it was like a 2-ish room space.
It was like a studio loft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was sort of okay, so let me back up. So I started from a home studio in my house. So it was like my front like formal living room, and then on the right hand side was like the formal dining room, and then that's where we do like hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. And then we moved into like our first commercial space, which was this tiny little shack behind Liz's old place.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that little where the studio HR first their first location.
Yeah.
So that's where I moved in after, and then we got flooded out. Like I came in to shoot one day, and it was like flooded. The foundation was cracked from the bottom. Like there are all these issues with it. Anyways, it was. Like, every time I'd plug something in, I'd blow a fuse if I had, like, 3 air heaters on at once. Like, there were all these... It had character.
It's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's fine. It's good character. It's fine.
But it was my first, like, commercial space, and it was a big jump for me to, like, have that faith in myself to, like, okay, yeah, you can do this. You can rent a space. Like, you're going to have a commitment to make rent every month, but that will be that incentive you need to, like, okay, you need to book clients, you know? Fucking work. Do it.
Yeah.
So... I had that space, and then I had been looking for another space prior, and then I had gone to like a workshop. I did in-person mentoring with a friend in Kansas City, and then I came back, and I had like looked at 2 apartments, was like, okay, maybe that will happen, maybe not. And then the place flooded, our current studio, or old studio flooded, and so I was like, well, I guess I gotta move, so okay, yeah, we'll see what happens with this. And then, so I really loved that space, but then I had all these issues with zoning. So I was like a little bitch, and I was like, I called the planning department, like, tell me where it says specifically that I can't do this.
Yeah.
And they were like, we'll call you back. And then he called me, and he's like, so there's actually nothing that says specifically that you can't. So you're going to have to get, like, special permission from the city attorney and the zoning administrator. And we got it, and so I got to move in there. And it was great. I was there for 5 years. I loved it, but there were so many, like, limitations on it. I couldn't have any kind of signage, which was fine because it was a boudoir studio, but I also couldn't have, like, more than one client at a time. There were so many limitations to where I could not grow the business, and it's like I had to really be hush-hush about my own thing. And that fucking sucked because it did.
That's not how you grow a business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also, like, there were all these little things, like the parking was an issue. I was always getting parking tickets. Like, it was hard to find the place. Like, it's just all these little things that just were very inconvenient. It was a solid, like, it was pretty. And it really was, like, honestly, more so, like, my safe haven to get out of my marriage. That's really what it had become. But it wasn't, like, a space that I could grow in. And so when they were working to, like, they kept trying to sell a place, and I kept saying that I'm not buying it. Because, like, no, no, no. Then the pandemic hit, and they were really like, okay, we really want to sell. Actually, it was the year before the pandemic hit. They wanted to really sell. So I started working with the city to see about, like, I was like, okay, I don't want to leave this building. Maybe I can go to the floor below it. But if I do, I have to redo my business license. I have to do that. The zoning laws have changed, so I'm going to have the zoning laws change if I want to move. So
it was like, why is this headache worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I started the process. Yeah. I did all the things. Like, I met with, like, the Downtown Norfolk Civic League. I did all the stuff to, like, start. I was literally about to submit the application because there's a lot of work you have to do beforehand, like, meeting with the councils, getting permission, explaining what your business is and what you want to do, all this shit. And so I did that. I was going to submit my application. It was like $1,000 application fee. And I had just parked, and my landlord called, or my property manager called, and she's like, they want to extend your lease another year. And I was like, okay, that's fine. God, it's fine. I just did all of this fucking work. And it was a lot of work, like having to do all these meetings and everything. But I was like, okay, that's fine, because it was, you know, just not the stress that I wanted of having to, like, look for another space. But then the pandemic hit, and they really wanted to sell, and it kept pressing me, and it was just, like, an absolute no. So, found this place, and, yeah.
So, if you, like, have not seen, like, the incredible transformation that is this space, I like followed along.
Yeah,
and
it's
been nuts what you've done to this amazing space.
Thank you. I found the place on Craigslist. I was just Googling, like, what can I find? And they didn't really have any pictures of it. It was, like, a picture of the blueprint. So I was like, I don't know what this looks like. Let me see it in person. And I remember when I met my landlord, we, like, walked up, and there was, like, this broken Hennessy bottle on the sidewalk. And I was like, oh, snap, where are we? What's going on here? And I go upstairs, and I was like, okay, there's a white lady walking her baby. All right, okay, interesting. Because we're in Park Place. Like, this area is gentrifying. And so I had never really explored this area of Norfolk. I'd always pretty much stayed in downtown because my studio was right off the highway. I'd go.
Right.
And but I knew that this area was really changing. It's changed so much. Even just in the last year that I've been here.
It's crazy.
Insane. And I don't even, I mean, I remember when we had done, like, this walking around 21st Street. We're walking, doing photos. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even recognize the place now. And I was like, holy shit, it was recently that I had that realization, like, oh, that's that place. What? It's nothing.
It's crazy.
It's a completely new world down here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting to move in and sort of work to be a part of this community that is, like, I'm still foreign to, like, Virginia. I'm not from here, but Norfolk has become home. Even though, like, we live in Virginia Beach. We both work in Norfolk. We're here all the time. This is where we go for everything. And the people, I like being able to walk down the street and run into friends. Like, that is the biggest thing that I loved about being on Grammy Street when I was in downtown. Because that would, like, during breaks for editing, I would just go walk downtown. And I'd love to be able to just, like, oh, shit, hey, what's up? Let's grab a drink. And it was just such a cool, like, being able to do that down there. And then also now being able to do that down here. And
you really can. There's so much down here.
Yes. So much. And the area has changed so much. And it's been cool to, like, be able to witness that growth. Mm-hmm. And just, like, be able to see, too, like, one thing I really love about our neighborhood is there's 4 Black-owned businesses here, all run by women. Like, there's Ralph and Meow's, which is right next door, where my baby mama works there. Phil's ex-wife is the receptionist, so she's right next door. And it's amazing because it's like, hey, can you drop the kids off? Work. It's so convenient, and it's become, like, family. Like, I went to Jenna's birthday party, and we did, like, a slumber party in Richmond. It was, like, her grandma was there. It was, like, things that I love being able to have that community feeling in this area and to be able to, like, meet other business owners. She and I are going through a lot of similar things. We're both, like, the same age group. Like, we're both 30, and so we're both young business owners navigating down here where, because we are new and we are, like, luxury-based businesses, we are sort of changing the face of the people that come here. There has been a little bit of a resistance to that, and so it's been interesting to, like, be able to work through that together. Like, just a lot of interesting challenges that I never foresaw coming with, like, having commercial space downtown. But it has been, I love it because it has been able to give me a sense of, like, actual involvement in the community, because we have fucking stake here. Like,
yeah, like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm part of it.
Yeah.
I want to make this as awesome as it can
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and my fiance just got, he just got this route. Like,
awesome.
Got this last week or earlier this week. He told me, I started crying. So I'm like, dude, you're gonna be here all the time, because he's gonna be here, like, interacting with people. Like, you actually fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, here in Park Place, that you see, it's so, this area is so easily glossed over and dismissed, and people just write it off and they fucking hate it because there's so much here. But there are so many, like, negative connotations with it that people don't give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm really happy to be able to be a part of that change, because it's awesome here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really cool. We have a lot of really awesome young business owners in the area that are, like, making moves and doing things that are actually making, like, a point to be involved in their businesses and the community and, like, focus on activism and things like that. So it's been really awesome to be able to be in this kind of environment. And I'm hoping, like, I'm super stoked that Phil's here. Like, that, it's just one of those extra, like, yes! Now we have, you know, like, he's invested, and because he is, like, all of the other people that he works with actually fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things that it makes me really happy, because, like, maybe we'll see actual change, you know?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Very unexpected, but also awesome. Like,
yeah.
So if you could give anybody like one takeaway, like your takeaway about you, about business, about anything, what would it be?
I really think it's just honing in on what you are drawn to, what defines you, what you're motivated by, what your passions are, and focus on that fully and let everything else fall by the wayside. Like, fuck the noise. You don't have to worry about what people are going to think about you, because everyone is going to have an opinion on something that you do, good or bad. It shouldn't dictate how you move throughout this world. So being able to really hone in and define what your passions are and let that lead and guide your life and your decision making in an intentional way, I think is really important.
I think that's freaking perfect.
Yeah, and I would also like to tell everyone who is listening and who has not seen this wonderful studio on Instagram or anything, that she just said that, sitting in front of a neon sign that says, fuck what they think. So it's perfect.
It's perfect. It's legitimately perfect.
It's perfect.
Hanging out with us today and letting us come into your space and telling us your story. There's so much that I did not know, and I'm so happy to now know.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
Oh, sorry, you guys. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, guys. All right, bye.